The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on WTBR-FM Pittsfield with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thanks for tuning in. So today we have with us Hadiatu Dumbuya, an entrepreneur who specializes in marketing, real estate, and global travel. She is a motivational speaker. She's a content creator. She is a former Division I and semi-pro soccer athlete. She also was a bodybuilder. And I'm sure I'm missing something from this list, but you are doing so many incredible things. I just have to even take a breath and say, wow. So you're super busy. I want to just first and foremost, thank you for making the time to have this conversation. We got a lot to get into because that list is next level. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. And listen, I'm more honored to be able to be a guest. I watch the podcast, listen to everybody, and I'm like, how do I fit in this list? Like, these people are making some serious impact and change. So to be able to be considered as somebody that you even want to learn anything about, I feel honored to be here. So Roberta, I'm excited. I think we're going to have some fun today.
Well, Hadiatu, I got to just tell you, one of the things that I've always been attracted to such a range of individuals is everyone has a unique story. And it's almost like on peeling an onion, right? You peel an onion, there's the next layer, and next layer, and next layer. As individuals, we're walking about, no one knows our story until we share it. And so that's the magic of conversation. You know, we're in a time right now where we're ruled by sound bites, right? And it's so easy to get a sound bite from someone and say, there, yep, I told you so. Right? And
it's right.
What do you know? You know nothing. You know nothing about that person except that soundbite that was selected in that moment. And so in a time where we are governed by that, going back to the basics and having conversations and connecting as human beings is really something that I think is timeless. So, you know, I just kind of want to get started by saying, one, you actually came out to visit us here in the Berkshires recently. You had an opportunity to speak with some students. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience here?
More than anything, let me say this. It was just refreshing. The Berkshires is similar to where I grew up. Definitely, you know, an area that has its own culture outside of like big city. And I love that. So that was very exciting to me. But anytime that I get the opportunity to speak to youth, it just puts me in a completely different place because I realize, number one, how blessed I've been. And number two, it reminds me of the fact that I never saw people that look like me standing on stage as a speaker.
Mm.
And so, you know, that
never,
not when I was in elementary, high school. No, I didn't grow up in an area where there were a lot of people that look like me. Mm. And so, no, I never saw that. And to be honest, you couldn't tell me as a child that I would be doing that. Like that was never a goal or aspiration. I remember in college, Roberta, I used to, when we had speech class, I would make up all the excuses possible to miss doing my speech on the day where everybody would be there so that I could just give my speech to my professor. So I used soccer as my excuse to not have to do it. So it was refreshing. It was humbling. The students were super receptive. You know, I could see so many pieces of me and different students in the crowd. So it feels so good to be able to see people do like ahas or everybody is like slouched back cool for school. They really don't want to pay attention. But to see people lean in, that feels better than me when I'm speaking in front of 20,000 people. Okay. Which I've been, right? So 20,000 adults pales in comparison to speaking to 50 high school students because I know that the seeds are being planted, whether they're being watered initially or not, they're planted. And I never had the opportunity to have those kind of seeds planted. So I loved every piece of it. I got to spend time with that girls group. And I love women. You know, I love to spend time and have a sleepover, which I did that too.
Yeah,
And I love that
nice.
too. That's my jam. Like that's
Yes.
my space. So I loved every piece of it.
Yes. So, quick question. When they listened to you and took in, because you said that you were able to kind of connect with individual, students and some of their sort of maybe their ahas or their or I get you connected with that. What were some of those things that you found were so in parallel?
Yeah, so there, I know at that age in particular, you're so lost and people are expecting so much of you, right? Especially now with social media out there, like what your life is supposed to look like. It ain't ever hitting to that. That's never gonna happen. And that's defeating. And I think that parents don't even understand that. Like, you know, because we're thinking back to when I was in school. Well, it's not like when we were in school. The pressures that they have are different. You know, bullying is different. Expectations different. I mean, the self-image that individuals have now is so unrealistic. We didn't have that.
Unrealistic. We didn't, and there was more opportunity to control what your kids were exposed to in that way. And so, it's harder now because everything is at their disposal. So their self-esteem and all of that can take a hit 24/7 because there are no guardrails. It's not like taking something out the house or turning off the TV anymore, right? It literally is, they have complete and unfettered access to images and messages that say either you're not enough or look at how they're having this great life and what's wrong with you because you don't have that life. And so that cycle of comparison can be so debilitating.
And it's what makes it the most debilitating is that it's very hard. And you know, I have a 16-year-old, so it's very hard for us to understand that. That's the most debilitating part for the children, is that we haven't even grasped that. And so we try to parent like we were parenting in a whole different world. Like, it's not the same. We're literally on different planets.
It's like the key is not fit in the lock. And it's you have to, or as a parent today, you always have to be in a state of learning and trying to figure out how they get their messages, how to connect with them, because you're absolutely right. The ways of yesteryear, and I know we're both like in our 40s, so we're both Gen X. And I will, and so it's very different, very, very different. But in order to make sure they're healthy and whole, you got to figure it out.
That's right. That's right. And they deserve it, right? Like we want our kids to be good humans first and foremost, functioning adults, you know, next, and understanding the importance of mental health. So I made sure to tie some of those things in. So some of the aha moments, and by the way, some of them actually followed me on social media. And so they've been writing to me on social media, which has been really cool. One of the young ladies just wrote to me and told me, like, I took your advice, because she ended up staying after for a little bit. And she's like, I took your advice and kind of just let things go. And now I'm going to be going into nursing school. And I've been, so it, those are the things for me that allow me to know that I'm in alignment and in God's purpose. You know, I'm not telling anybody how to believe or what to believe. It's just like what I believe. And, that's what I need. You know, like those are the things that will keep me going when I have a bad day, is remembering that I was able to speak to, and I said this, you know, before I went on stage, like I talked to myself all the time. And I was like, girl, just hit one soul. Like, that's all you need to do is hit one soul. Like, out of this whole crowd, hit one soul. And if you did that, you hit your goal. And that was really what I wanted. So yeah, so I've actually been engaging with a couple of different
Great.
students on there. So that's been great. But one of the things, let me make sure I hit this. One of the things that I spoke to them that I saw people like kind of tilt their head, think about it a little differently. As I said, you're the first person to speak to yourself every day. With that being said, what are you saying to yourself? When you wake up in the morning, the first thing that we all do is pick up your telephone. You're literally opening your mind, body, and soul to whatever is out there. Before you tell yourself how amazing you are, before you affirm the kind of day that you're going to have, you have opened the door to nothingness. Because that's
Right.
what it is, right? Like,
It's true. Or like you said, your or other people's thoughts. So other people's thoughts become your thoughts because you haven't filled your mind and set your day with your own thoughts. So whatever is out there online, circulating on your multiple feeds, then become absorbed into your mind because you have then taken it on. You haven't even given yourself a chance.
you didn't even take a deep breath.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you could potentially ruin your day first thing in the morning because
True.
one of your friends sent you a message like, "Girl, did you see what so and so just said about you?" That, and I listen, it's so funny because I tell people that all the time. And I remember one time in the last couple of years, I rolled over and just picked up the phone. Like, I normally lay in bed. I say what I'm grateful for. I tell myself how amazing I am, the kind of day that I'm gonna have. I do that before I even like get up or do anything. And I remember I picked up the telephone and it was somebody in my business that I've helped immensely. And it was a long message about how he was mad at me about something that had nothing to do with me. That's how I started my day. That's how I started my day. So the rest of my day, there, and I care about people. So the rest of my day, I'm like, well, what did I do wrong? How could I have done this? And I'm thinking about all the things that have nothing to do with the day that God blessed me with.
Right.
So that was one of the things. Like, I was like, look, just start talking good to yourself. Like, you have to do that in the morning before anybody else can say anything negative. Talk good to yourself.
And when you have those mornings where you're able to carve out that time and meditate, pray, do whatever you do, and then think, what, how does it help to inform your day?
I mean, I can't even tell you what it's like to not have it anymore. That is, it's a staple for me. I even do grounding. So I put my bare feet on the ground. I want the electricity from the earth. I need that. I'm like an earth baby, so I'm like, I need that energy before I get the electricity from all these other things that I don't want. But you know, I have a morning routine that I stick by. There's not one successful person that I've read a book about, listened to an audio from that doesn't talk about having a morning routine to set your day. Because you cannot control the uncontrollables, but you can control you. So it shapes my day every morning, from my affirmations to my gratefuls to my movement. I'm always like stretching my body, doing that. I make sure to go through my to-do list, which I do at night. I go through all of those things. Like, that's all literally a part of my morning before I brush my teeth, girl.
Do
So
you write a traditional list? I'm asking for a friend who likes paper. Do you actually write out a list or do you type it in your phone?
girl,
Yay!
I am writing it all out. I got notebooks for notebooks. I got notebooks for my notebook. Like a notebook for
Okay,
ideas, a
we can be
notebook for brainstorming.
friends. We can be
Yes.
friends. I love paper. I don't know. There's something about that tactile experience about writing it down and seeing it. It's just, listen, I love technology too. I feel like we both we you know, especially again, this generation, we can do both. We can do both. But there's something about writing it and seeing it and having it absorb into your consciousness that is so powerful.
Yes, it's needed. It's needed, and it allows you to take time. Technology makes things so easy that nothing sinks in. It's like, and I have thousands of notes, okay, on my phone. I have thousands of notes. There's something different about writing it down, and then I even spatially can remember where I wrote things. If I'm like, oh, I got to do X, Y, and Z. If you do it on your phone, it's all the same place. When I write it down, like, I'm like, okay, I did the first two things. What was the third thing? Like, I can see it because I wrote it. Like, I took
Yeah.
the time to write it. So, yes, girl, I do. I write nonstop. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I do have the affinity for paper. Yes, I do. So there's my confession. So I want to take it back, Hadia, to a little bit, because you mentioned growing up, and I think part of what makes your story so unique is you're growing up, you are first generation Sierra Leonean, right? And as someone, I was not born in this country. I was born in Jamaica. My children are first generation Americans, and so I'm curious to know, what did it mean for you as a first gen to grow up with, I call it, a bicultural experience?
So a couple of things, in the younger years, it wasn't awesome. I like to be very frank and candid with people to let them know that all the great things that I love about growing up in a bicultural experience, I could not stand them as a child, right? I mean, it's extra rules, right? So most foreign cultures have more rules than Americans, okay? And so there was those extra rules. The way we ate and the way that we smelled after my mom cooked was different. Okay? Like, we left the house smelling like
The
all of it. Listen, girl.
hint of the
Look, in West Africa, they do something called dried fish. So it's like
spices.
fish, and they dry it outside and then they cook it, and the smell is hitting on nothing good. Okay? And
Oh.
so I remembered that. I remembered, that my parents would sometimes come to school in African attire. And I'm like,
Okay.
how embarrassing. Okay. So, those things, the discipline that we had, I wasn't loving any of those things, right? I didn't have access to sweets, girl. We weren't allowed to have no sweets. Yeah, we didn't have any sweets in the house. Nope. Parents didn't play any of the things. All of those things, and I said this to many people I've talked to, shape how I am now, right? So I'm probably one of the most disciplined people that I know. I could really discipline my mind to get things done, but it started from when I was two. I've been
Right.
playing soccer since I was five. My siblings were all playing, so I mean, our whole weekends we spent at the soccer field. We already knew what it was going to be. Like, that's it. This is soccer, and it's
Did
school.
you call it soccer or football?
You know what? We called it soccer.
You did.
We did. I know it's football everywhere else. Yeah, but we called it soccer. I don't remember my parents ever using football.
Oh.
I know, isn't that crazy? I really don't remember them ever doing that. Yeah, I think they were just assimilating, right? They just, and my dad was even a coach of mine.
But
And he,
even in Sierra Leone, would they call it
no,
soccer?
it's football. No, it's
Oh,
football home. Yeah,
okay.
home, it was football. Everywhere else, football. But I mean, my parents called it soccer.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, they definitely were cool with that. So yeah, the discipline has been paramount for me. And then, and you know this, Roberta, if you come from a foreign household, your mindset is very different and you are tougher than anybody.
Yes.
Okay. Our parents were loving. Their words weren't all the time, though. And maybe that was just mine, but I could say that for my cousins would be like, they're very blunt. There was
Yes.
no sugar coating. There's no, I hope your feelings are okay.
No. Yeah,
Like,
yeah, yeah. We don't have that. No.
feelings were not a thing.
No.
Crying was not a thing, right?
It's you're always told it's not a democracy in here.
Exactly. Listen. Yeah, choices. My friends are like, I want to choose this. I'm like, choose.
No. There. No.
It's
No. No. No.
your
No.
not word.
No. 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 There's that does not exist. No. And I think that when you think about that immigrant experience, again, you think about the magnitude of the drive. I always go to the drive, and what's always hanging on the shoulders of whether it's your parents or grandparents, whoever is a part of the journey, is always making sure the next generation is better, right? So they're literally they can be strict and tough, and perhaps just really strict about the rules and all of that because they want you to be better. I remember my grandmother, so when you talk about that, my grandmother, well, she was the tough one, right? And lovingly tough, but she was no nonsense. And if I spoke incorrect English, I was not allowed to leave the table. It was like, until you say the proper word, we're not playing that game. We're no, right? So it's again, it's like, wait, what did you say? Wait, what? Oh, no. You say the correct thing or you don't leave the table. Oh, and so you don't appreciate, you look back at those things. I'm like, because when you're in it, you're like, you're mean.
Yes.
You're
I didn't
mean.
like my mom. I was
Yeah,
like, God,
you're
why
like,
are you
you're
angry?
mean, right? But it's after, and when you grow up and you realize, no, you weren't mean. You just wanted me to be my best self.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was, and that those are the things that now, as an adult,
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that my parents forced discipline, even health and wellness. I think of myself, I'm 42 years young, 43 in 43 in when am I 43? In January. So next month.
Wait a second. I'm gonna be 46 in January.
January. Wait, I think when's your birthday?
Well, I'm not gonna say my birthday on this.
Okay,
I
well,
will
my
just.
birthday is January 29th, okay?
Okay, so I'm mid-January too.
Okay, look at that. I'm like, they could Google me January 29th.
That is true, though. I mean, again, we're talking about technology. Everything is out there. Look at me shielding my birthday
And I was like,
as if
okay,
to say
Bird, do
it's
your
not
thing.
out there in
I could
somewhere.
Google you, girl, if you want me to
That
go
is
out
true.
there and find
Okay,
you.
now you're putting it out there.
I'm just
Wow.
saying, I could go on Facebook. I'm just saying, okay.
That, you know what, that is true. So yeah, so Yes, but yes. So yes, that experience of being in your 40s and having the discipline, and because you look absolutely amazing, and again, it's that discipline life that you were brought up in.
That is exactly it. And I have friends that right now, in their 40s, let's say they're dating and they want to look better, they want to take care of themselves. They have zero foundation because for most of their lives, they really haven't worked out or done anything. They didn't eat healthy. So, like, they're trying to do that at 42, where I've been doing this for 42 years. And so it's going to take a lot longer for them to do it. And it's more frustrating, I mean, so I think about that often. I'm like, so for the parents that are listening to this, because I know some of my friends are like, I'm not forcing my kids to play sports, force them. And I'm going to tell you why. You force them to brush their teeth. Okay. And you do that because you want them to be better later. So I'm not saying your kid has to be a professional athlete, but your kid does have to know the importance of waking up, practicing, eating well, preparing, the mental fortitude that it takes when you lose. Those are things that you take into your life.
Absolutely,
So
absolutely,
I'm grateful for it, really.
100%. You're right about that, and it's and they're learning without actually the label of learning, because they think yes, it's a game, but it's more than that. It really is, again, learning how to appreciate a good win. And also learning how to lose gracefully, because you're not going to win all the time in life. You're not. That's just life. And you need to know how to deal with that and to take your loss, understand your loss, and make yourself better the next time around. So I didn't grow up playing sports though, because again, we didn't grow up playing sports, because if anything actually was like on a Sunday, it was like, no, you can't play. So again, going to that strictness of it, but it was, there were lessons in other areas, and that discipline showed itself in other areas that I definitely understand. Speaking of your sports journey, you were so good that you eventually got an athletic scholarship. So tell me about how dedicated you were through your school career leading up to college, and why you thought that that was the path for you at the time.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that it'll make you laugh. I wasn't the girl that, first of all, I was very little, very, very little. So I'm 5'2" and a half now. I probably was 5 foot in high school, right?
I
So
love the fact that you included the a half because that's me too. And I always say I'm 5'2½. So, okay.
See, I want to make sure everybody knows. Don't try to skip me on my half.
That's right. That's right.
But I was so small, and I actually was a grade above. So, I was also younger than everybody else, which actually ended up being a huge advantage in life. So I'm grateful for that. However, I used to get kind of beat up all the time because I was so little. So I worked harder. I was just talking to my friend earlier today, and I said this to him. I said, the things that most people look at as disadvantages, I feel like that's like God propelling you to be better. He's like, I need to give you a little extra because you won't do this. So let me go ahead and give you this hurdle for
Yes.
you to overcome so you can be stronger, bigger, faster than anybody else in the long run. So me knowing that I was the smallest did make me work a little bit harder, you know, so that was huge. I also had older siblings that played, so I was always wanting to be able to compete with them. My older sister is 4½ years older, and then my brother was 2 years older than her. So, you know, that competitive spirit and nature was just like kind of embedded in me. But I also, this is the part that I said was gonna be funny. Girl, I wanted to get away from my parents. That strict thing that we're talking about that made me who I am, I could not stand it. I was like, I get good grades. I'm good at my sport. Why can't I hang out with people after school? So I watched my parents help my siblings make their college decisions that they didn't even want to do. But they were not like me, where I'm like, I'm gonna make it so you don't have a choice. So, how I can make it so you don't have a choice is that I'm going to get a full ride to everywhere I want to go. And then I get to pick because you guys don't have to pay anything. You don't have to put a dollar into this. This is my decision at this point. Because I
So
was,
you thought all that out.
oh, heck yeah. I watched my siblings. My siblings, I got in trouble growing up and my siblings didn't, but I lived a better life. Like, I might have got beat, but I'm like, a beating lasts for like, what, 4 minutes, if that, if they could even muster up enough energy for that. But when I was out, it was hours, girl. I was like living my life. I watched them sit at home, not get beat, and not have fun. I'm like, look, I'm gonna take that 4 minutes. I'm gonna take it. That's how I do life, though. I take it as that. I'm like, I'm gonna take that beating. I'm gonna flip.
Yes, and for those listening, no, it was not like no child abuse or anything like that, but it was just a different form of discipline that,
Yeah.
right? And so yes,
No
and
child abuse. Don't
yeah.
worry. You guys don't need to call anybody on my parents. Okay. One is 77. I don't know if you're going to try to go get them now, but don't worry about it. So it wasn't that. But when I say, like, I was punished. Okay. So, like, I would rather take a small form of punishment to be able to enjoy my life. And I really live my life in that. That's probably why I'm okay to lift weights. I'll take that pain to be able to do what I want to, or have what I want to have, or do what I want to do. So part of it was, yeah, I just wanted to.
That's some really, but for you to like reckon in your mind that, all right, this is the way that I'm gonna be able to move through life, and if I have to, deal with this punishment as it comes. I like for you to have that awareness and say, well, it is what it is. That's but the, but like you said, it sets the tone for you're very much like a free spirit,
Yeah.
and I could see that. So I could see how your parents could probably have a hard time trying to wrangle you,
Yeah,
because
I feel bad
you
for
were
them.
kind of like a bubbling pot of energy. So you got your athletic scholarship. Where did you go?
I went to Butler University, which is in Indianapolis. It was like a mid-major school, but a Division I school, which was very important to me. I wanted to go somewhere that was far enough away from my parents that they couldn't drive with, like, as a surprise. But if I needed to come home, I could still get home in enough time.
Did your siblings know that you were up to this and doing all of this strategic work?
I really didn't talk to my siblings about stuff like that. None of us really did that. Maybe I might have talked to my little sister. She's 4½ years younger, about like my mindset. But no, I never spoke to that. I was, for real, Roberta, I was the troublemaker. So for if anything, they were just irritated because, you know, when one sibling gets in trouble, the parents, what they do is they blame it on the other siblings, like, it was your example. So my older sister used to get in trouble because they're like, because you did this, she's doing this. And my sister would be like, I never did that. You know, guilt by association.
You have to set you as the oldest, you always have to set the example. And
Yeah.
if the younger ones are going astray, it's absolutely because you did not do something or you did do something.
That's right.
Just own up to it.
Yes. So no, I never talked to them about that. To be honest, I don't think I talked to anybody about that. I'm pretty unassuming because I am very free spirited, where it looks like I don't care or I'm not paying attention. But in reality, I just know the life that I want. You know, I watched so many different things from my parents that I was like, yeah, I don't want that. You know, like I remember my mom hating her job. I'm like, I remember my dad was more entrepreneurial, but like he didn't follow through with certain things. Like I watched those things and I was a part of it. And I'm never saying anything, but those things that I saw on my parents that were not optimal for what I wanted in my life. I was very adamant about not having that. You know, like my mom probably has no idea. I don't know if I've even expressed this anywhere before, but she's very safe. Okay. My mom is, she's not venturing out. She's very safe. She's very honest. She's not jumping out of no boxes. And I watched my mom be that person for a very long time. And my parents had an arranged marriage too. So like she's very obedient, you know. And I also saw that she wasn't happy. And in that, I'm like, who want to be here? Like, who wants to be here and not be happy? Like, what is it? And I didn't know what it was. You know, I just knew she's not happy and she's a computer engineer. Like, I remember going to college with my mom for her to finish her degree. She was so hardworking. You had four beautiful children are playing sports and getting acknowledged everywhere. Like, you had all these things, but like, I watched her really not be happy. And I just couldn't imagine going somewhere for all these hours in a day and be around people I don't even like. And then have to come home and deal with your kids, which we're crazy. You know, kids are crazy. We cause problems. We do all sorts of crazy stuff. So that she doesn't even know that that was a lot of what made me know that I had to be an entrepreneur. Like I would rather be unsafe than safe and unhappy. Like I'll be unsafe and unconventional and do everything the wrong way, where I get to wake up and just be happy and do things my way.
Wow. Do you
Didn't
think
know
you would,
that. I don't think
do
we
you,
said that. I never said
yeah,
that.
that's profound. Do you think you would ever, would
Tell
you
her
ever
that?
share that with, yeah. Could
Huh.
she take it? Because, you know, even as you get older, like the thing is that as we get older, our parents get older, and that doesn't mean that they can still receive that kind of message. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I don't know how she would have received that. I don't know how she would have received that. I think that in her mind, because I'm really the one with my older sister has an entrepreneurial spirit. I'm the one that's gonna go try a bunch of stuff and jump off bridges. Like I'm gonna be the one to do that. I'm sure my mom correlates that to my dad, because my dad was definitely that person. Like he would jump and do stuff. And I know that there's pieces of that have to do with him, but I mean, I fight for my happiness probably more than I fight for anything else in this world. I know like my baseline is pretty happy, Roberta, and I've gone through very challenging situations, but my baseline is happy, and so like I fight to make sure it stays there, where I don't think that that is a natural human instinct, right? Like most people don't fight for happy. They call it keeping receipts. Like they want to stay mad at a situation or at somebody, where I almost have selective amnesia. Where like if I can't fix it, I can't make it better, I want to forget. I don't want it. Like get away from me. I don't want that. I don't want that energy. I don't want that thought. And I probably learned some of that from my childhood. You know,
Okay.
You gotta fight for yourself. I mean, we grew up in a house where we had a lot of immigrants that lived with us. So it'd be very hard for me to remember a time that it was only my family in the house. It was always other people. My parents were like the first ones that came. Everybody lived with my parents when they came to America.
Do you think that in listening to you talk about this, and then after that we're gonna take a quick break, but the community, and the sharing, right? It was a very communal experience. Do you think that, and then go thinking about the mindset that you shared, that part of it was also creating a reality all your own that you could control? Like there was, like you said, like there was so much happening around you. More people were coming in. Yes, this is home base. Yes, come stay here, be here, live here, do right. And
Wear my
so,
shoes, girl. They was always wear somebody was wearing my shoes and
wearing
my
your
clothes.
shoes,
I'm like,
taking your
dang.
coat, the shirt you wanted to wear tomorrow is gone. All of that, it's like, you think about all of that. It's like, oh, it's almost enough to drive you crazy. But in your mind, you could create a sanctuary where no one was taking your shoes, no one was taking your shirt, your coat. It was all your own. Do you think it started there and then it?
For sure. For sure. I think that I've spoken to you before and I told you I live in like, for real, I live in like my own world. I really do. And I mean, I do remember my mom saying a story, and this might be too much for some of you listeners, so calm down, brace yourself. Okay. So when I was up until 5, we lived in like a 2-bedroom apartment. It was not the most affluent type of area. So it was probably like 12 or 13 of us, if not more, living in that 2-bedroom apartment. And I would get in trouble. My mom said, like, you will go in the room when you got in trouble. Like, most kids cry and they're like, she's like, you would cry for a second. You will go in the room and you would be sitting in the corner playing with an imaginary friend, or this is gonna be too much, Roberta, but I'm doing it because I'm gonna be me. We had roaches. She's like, you will be sitting in the corner, literally having a like you now have had a party with the roaches and your imaginary friends. She said, I will come into the room like, who are you laughing with? I just got in trouble. Like, you're in trouble going to the room. And she said, you would be sitting in there having a whole party. Yeah, I don't remember that at all, but like when my mom says that, I'm not kidding, Roberta. I'm like, I'm like that. That's kind of
That's
who
something
I
that
am.
I feel like, you're born with, you know what I mean? And that kind of personality and that imagination, that is something that, I can see the product here today, but there's always a starting point. And that story is, while it's like, wow, like, oh, roaches, ooh, but at the same time, it's like the fact that you defy it defied any kind of like ick factor. You didn't even think about that. You just thought, I'm going to create this world,
My world.
even amidst all of this. So great. So, Hadiatu, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and we're going to get right back into all of this good stuff. So, see you in a few seconds.
It's a revolution!
Yeah, baby, yeah! 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Some news outlets tell you what to believe, and they limit your access to the whole story. Some of them are just plain ugly and mean. Social media is filled with rumors, misinformation, personal attacks. Where locally can you get the whole story, unfiltered, so that you can make informed decisions at the ballot box? There's really only one place. It's on PCTV. On cable, on the PCTV Select app, and at PittsfieldTV.org. The whole story since 1986, PCTV. See it all and decide for yourself.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. You're listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on WTBR-FM Pittsfield with Roberta McCulloch-Deuce. And my guest today is Hadiyatu Dumbayo. And she is, did I pronounce that right, Hadiyatu? Is it Dumbaya? Dumbaya.
Yeah.
Dumboya.
Yeah.
I gotta keep practicing that. So I have to keep practicing that because it is a beautiful name. And I always want to honor people and make sure that I say their name correctly because that is your name. So she does everything. We've been having a great conversation, and she is an entrepreneur. She is a motivational speaker. She is a content creator. She works in marketing, real estate, global travel. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how she sleeps. I have not asked her that yet. I'm not sure how she sleeps. I'm sure she can share a secret or two about that. But in the midst of all of this, she's doing fantastic things. And we're just talking about your imagination and how your imagination was cultivated from the time you were little and to now. I mean, just an amazing story. You talked about sports. You talked about how sports played a role in your life. You ended up working for the NFL.
Yeah.
And the Indianapolis Colts. Like, yeah. Do tell. What was that about?
So it's crazy. So I, at Butler University, in order to graduate with a business degree, you had to have an internship. And so playing soccer in college, that's your job, right? Like, you really don't have time to do an internship. So you end up doing it during one of the summers, which you got to be strategic about your summer because you're still supposed to be training. And so I scheduled to do an internship in Chicago. I was going to do an internship with an accounting firm, and I ended up getting injured. And so they were like, you need to be here. Like, you can't go to Chicago. You've got to rehab for this next year. And so I hadn't figured out what I was going to do, but like, I got the news and I'm like, my normal self, all right, I'll figure it out. Like, I didn't even think very hard because I was like, I don't even know how to digest this information. I'll deal with it when I deal with it. And so Maybe about a couple of days yet later, we were practicing at the Indianapolis Colts facility. And one thing that and this is another thing that I actually left with the high school students. I'm talking to you if you're standing next to me. Mm. But that's going to happen because I believe God put you there, either for you or for me. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking. Okay. And so I was on the sideline because I'm injured. My team is practicing. There's this man standing next to me. I'm like, hi, like, hello. Like, hey. And, you know, he's like, why are you over here? And why aren't you playing? I was like, so I got injured. And my mom always would complain because I talk too much. But honestly, that's what's got me everything out of life. Mm-hmm. And now I get paid to talk. Thank you, mommy. Okay. I was speaking to him and I was telling him what was going on. I'm like, you know, I actually need to figure out what I'm going to do for an internship. And I wasn't speaking to him, expecting him to fix it.
Right.
I was just talking because that's what I do.
Right.
So I'm telling him what's going on. And he's like, oh, have you ever thought about working in sports? Now, at this time, I was majoring in international business. And so that's why I was going to accounting. So I was like, no, not really. Still not thinking anything of it. You know, and we're like kind of done talking and I'm watching. He's like, I mean, maybe you should think about working in sports. And I'm like, I don't even know what to do in sports. Like, if I'm not playing soccer, like, what else?
Right.
And he's like, I mean, would you work here? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, what would I do? I mean, I had no idea, like, what was going on. I'm like,
asking you, like, these probing questions.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here like, I don't know if I would. And he's like, well, I might know the person that could get you an internship here. And I was like, oh, that would be cool. It was very nonchalant. Like, he's like, you know, I'll give you my email address. Send me over your resume and we'll see what could happen. So I was like, okay. So I'm still thinking this is nothing. I'm just like, you know, it's just a nice guy. He probably felt bad for me. So he's like, yeah. Okay. So the next couple of days I sent him my resume and then he ended up calling me. I'm like, hey, you know, and I didn't even remember his name. And I'm like, hey, and he's like, you know, my name is Steve Chaplin. And, you know, the guy that was standing next to you, I'm like, oh yeah. He goes, just so you know, I'm the guy that picks interns.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, it's me. Like, I'm the one that picks the interns, and I would like to offer you a position. And I was like, wait a minute. Huh. You? And he's like, yeah. He's like, when I was saying, like, would you want to work in sports? He's like, you know, you have a great personality. He's like, you know, you speak well. Why not?
And imagine if you would have been like rude or whatever. There's like the power of the moment. Okay, keep on. Yeah.
So that happened. I ended up interning for them for like 3 years.
Wow.
And in that time of interning, you know, there's another thing that I believe I spoke about this at the high school. I was explaining to them like how you do anything is how you do everything. Okay. So it's very important that you show up. I'm an intern, an unpaid intern. Okay, I'm coming into the facility and I'm talking to everybody in every office that I pass to walk to my office where I got an intern. Like, hi, 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 I'm Heidi. Hello, hey, hi. Like, I'm talking to everybody. I'm meeting the coaches. I'm telling them I would babysit their kids because I also know that if somebody trusts you with their kids, you're golden.
Yeah.
And I knew that. You know, and I love kids. So I really network. The power of networking is real. It's also a skill that is not taught. It is a skill that's not talked about. Mm-hmm. But at the high school level, kids need to understand the importance of networking.
Yes.
No idea who's right next to you. You know, they say like 6 degrees of separation. It's really like 2 at this point.
Yeah.
Like you can get anything you want through your network if you've cultivated it.
True.
Right?
That's the key word.
Up. Yeah. And if you've shown up, you just really got to show up in your authentic self. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't sugarcoat who I am for anybody. Like, I'm literally like, this is me, girl. Like, this is what they'll always get. It really doesn't change.
Yeah.
And when people are able to be around that and embrace that, that's endearing in itself.
Right.
And it'll open doors for you. So anyways, I interned there. And then when my internship was done, I was about to graduate. And because I had babysat for some of the coaches, one of the defensive coordinators was like, hey, the mother of my child actually just passed. Will you be a nanny for me for a year? And I'm like, I wasn't ready to grow up. And this is, you know, after college, you really don't know what you want to do for real.
Yeah.
So you're like, I'm like, well, how much are you going to pay me? What he was going to pay me was more money than I was going to make doing anything else. So I'm like, so I nannied. And I don't even think I put that in any of my stuff, but I nannied for a little girl that her mom had just passed away. So I did that for the whole season, for the cold season. So what it looked like for me was I would get to their house at 6 in the morning because before she even got up, he would be leaving because that's what the coach's life is like, right?
Yeah.
He would leave. And then I would take her to school. I would go and do some activities sometimes at her school, but she was traumatized. Her mom had just passed, right? So I was dealing with like a, I want to say she was maybe 5 or 6, 6-year-old that was like breaking down. Like, I mean, she didn't have her mom anymore and it's me and her dad is a coach. So she really had me.
And she didn't really know you at the time.
I had babysat her a couple of times, but no.
But not to that extent.
No, not at all. And so I went from that to after I picked her up from school, you know, we would hang out for a little bit and then I would take her to the facility so she could eat dinner with her dad because that would be the only time she saw him that day. And then I would put her to bed and he would come home when she was asleep and I would leave and I would come back in the morning again. Right. So that was,
wow.
Yeah. That was like my life for a whole.
How old were you then?
21.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 21. Yep. So I was 21 when that happened. And then from there, I talked to him and I was like, look, I love your kid. I don't want her to be attached to me at this level because I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
So like, it is way better for me to leave now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm with her any longer, like,
she's going to look at you as a second mom.
That leaves her.
Right.
And again. So, I talked to him and he's like, no, I get it. He's like, I was really in a bind. I'm going to figure some things out. What do you want to do? And I was like, well, I mean, my major is in international business. Like I've been in sports, but like, that wasn't my plan. I don't even know where I could go with this. And he ended up saying, would you want to go to New York? And I'm like, to do what? He's like, to work for NFL Europe. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I didn't even apply, but I got a job with NFL Europe. So I lived in New York.
And what did you do there?
So I worked in operations for NFL Europe. So what operations is when it comes to sports is all the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
So NFL Europe has like their own draft. So how they draft is at the time, because there's no more NFL Europe, at the time, every NFL team had to send two players into the pool for the draft. So they were like guys that were going to like developmental players. So you know that was part of the deal. So they would do that, and then there would be players from Europe also, and then other athletes that maybe didn't make it to the NFL but they graduated from college, they could potentially go into, and it's kind of like a farm league. Okay, so like I put stuff together for like the NFL draft, or for the NFL Europe draft, and then I also coordinated the guys coming from overseas. We did training camp in Tampa. So I did coordination for that. I
But
also,
how do you have to? Listen, if you had never, if what I'm hearing, because you first of all, you're going down the list of you have done a marvelous job, and they trusted you. Everything that you're saying right there, they trusted you to manage operations in that way. But if you, what if when you were a nanny, you were like, like what you said previously, what, and I don't want to paraphrase the wrong thing, so please say it again. The thing about doing something.
how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah,
Yeah, it really is.
that's shown through your NFL work,
Yeah.
through your nanny work, through the babysitting work, even when you're on the sidelines and with your injury, and
Yeah.
you showed up as you.
Yeah.
You are the consistent
Yeah.
theme through all of this. How long were you with the NFL?
Girl, I only lasted 8 months because I realized I don't like working for people.
Okay, there you go. Okay, no.
I mean, I moved out there. I wasn't making a lot of money. And it's crazy because the person that was my boss, he's been a really big cheerleader of me now,
Yeah.
but I didn't like him. I felt like he talked to me crazy. I am now personally developed, okay, at 42 versus 22 when I was out there. I was definitely not personally developed. So my mouth was definitely sharp. And I knew that my dad didn't speak to me certain kind of ways, so I was not gonna ever be okay with feeling like somebody was talking to me crazy or minimizing my role. So yeah, I realized those things while I was there. But what I also realized is, and this is again, my whole life has been the power of networking. So while I was working for NFL Europe, there's a program that the NFL has where current players could then end up interning for the NFL. Okay. So a current player who's playing for the Detroit Lions was interning for NFL Europe, and I was helping him. I was teaching him stuff in the office. And yeah, so I was working with him.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they have a lot of really cool programs, to be honest. I mean, people just have to trust and take it and have a background that allows them to believe that somebody's actually there to help them. So yeah, so I was working with this guy nonstop, and apparently, and I don't even remember this. It's crazy the things that people remember and the reasons that they remember you, and you're like, I don't even know that that happened. So apparently, something happened at work. My girlfriend, who was what working for NFL Europe, she did it. She messed up, but I knew she would get in trouble, and I knew like, I mean, what are you gonna do to me? This sounds horrible, but it's just truth. I'm like, who cares? So I took the blame for something that she did because she would have been in more trouble than me. I don't remember doing this, Roberta. I have no recollection of doing this. That's what this man remembered and why he actually moved me here to Detroit to work for him as his assistant and help him run his five companies.
What?
Yeah, he was like, when I saw you do that and you didn't even care, he's like, I knew you didn't do it. I knew it was not you. Like, I knew it. I knew it was her. But how you just move through things, I'm like, that's the kind of person I want to work with me. Like,
Wow.
I would have her around me all the time. And so when I decided I was leaving the NFL, I sent a message to a bunch of my friends that I knew that played. He was one of them, like, hey, I'm leaving. And people were like, don't leave the NFL. My parents were like, what are you doing? Like, this is just crazy. But again, like, I will jump off that bridge. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't care if I can't swim. There's going to be something when I jump off, so we're clear, there will be
Yeah.
something to catch me. I won't even hit the water. I just won't. Like, I already know that. I feel that in my bones. I'm like, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And so Yeah, so I called everybody, told them I was leaving. Everybody said no. I had sent my resume out to recruiters in New York because my thought was I'll just go get my master's. So again, I don't have to grow up. So I was like, I'll just go to school and I'll figure it out. And Robert Porche is his name.
Okay.
He played for the Lions for 13 years. He's a serial entrepreneur at this point, doing very well. Robert was the intern that was the NFL player. And he's like, come to Detroit. I'm about to open a new restaurant. And I just want you to see everything I have going on. I need an assistant. So imagine going to work from the NFL to them being somebody's assistant. Like most people would be like, oh, heck no, I'm not going to be a secretary. Cause that's what it is. But for me, I just was like, I'm not happy here. Let me just see. Like, I'm going to go visit what he said. He's going to pay for a trip for me to go there for a week. I'm going to go. So I like saw all his businesses. I met his family. I was like, if this doesn't work, I could go back home.
Yeah.
And I really hope and pray that more young adults have that thought process. Like, if it doesn't work, you can just go back home. Half of you guys,
I think they
home.
Do, though. I think this generation is very fluid with, you know, career planning and things like that. Whereas, you know, maybe in times past, you would stick it out if there was something that you definitely would stick it out and stay. I don't know if that's necessarily the philosophy that is prevalent today. You know, and I think there's good and bad things to it too, because I think some things, if you didn't have some of those tough experiences, it shapes you in a way that it sharpens you for the future. But at the same time, in no way should you stay in a situation where you're being abused or mistreated or whatever. But it's like it's almost like you got to look at every instance and say, is this worth it?
Yeah.
And what can I, you know, you think about yourself and not compare yourself to other people and say, what do I want to get out of this? And if you truly see no potential or no value for the future, then so be it, make your decision, you know? And then sometimes you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to, you know, kind of stay in something because there is no backup, but you, from what I'm hearing, you always had a path that there was something in the cut. There was something that you could go to.
And I think it's very important to know this about me. Although I seem as like, I'm like, oh, to the wind, I'll just jump. I jump for sure. But I have a pros and cons. So like, I do that. I'm pros and cons about friendships. Like that's just the way I'm set up. I'm like, because I will see things through rose colored lens 9 times out of 10.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, it's not that bad. So yeah, I write down pros and cons of every situation in my life. I don't play around with that. I'm like, I'm going to write this down. Let me see. Like, if there's 5 cons, let me see how much they weigh to these
right.
Two, right? So I do that for all the decisions that I make in life. I definitely write down pros and cons so I could just make sure that I'm not just being emotionally based.
That's smart.
You know, that I'm doing this from a strategic standpoint. And I'm doing it without fear.
And then you jump.
And I'm like, I'm doing a backflip.
Okay.
Yeah, like once it's there, girl, it's there, right?
Got it.
So that's how I ended up here, is because I ended up networking. And again, how you do anything is how you do everything. And people respect that. Like, they just like knowing what they're going to get from you. Like, nothing perfect. I'm sure I messed up a bunch of times. I'm sure I forgot things. But I mean, I'll take ownership for it. Like, all right, well, I messed that up. My bad. You know, you want me to go kind of fix it, or you want to be mad about it still? Like, I do that even with my Airbnb properties. Like, like, hey, something's wrong. And I'm like, okay, like, so, you know, here are the options. Like, I'm not going to cover it up. I'm not going to make up a lie. Like, for what?
Right.
It is what it is. Like, this, it's already done. So now what? How we want to move forward?
It's the nuggets of wisdom, they're just so prevalent. I know we're running out of time. So Hadiatu, thank you so much for an amazing conversation. Thank you for being 100% authentically you. Thank you for your vibrancy, your energy, your transparency, and sharing your story. And I encourage everyone to visit your website. It's Hadi's Got You.
Yeah.
So that's Hadisgotu.
Nope, Y-O-U.
Y-O-U. Y-O-U. Yeah. All right. Not the, just you, but Y-O-U.
Y-O-U.
Hadi's Got You.
Hadi's Got You.
And so thank you so much. And to my listeners, thank you for tuning in today. I hope you've enjoyed today's conversation. You've been listening to Backstory. Let's Hear It on WTBR-FM Pittsville with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. I hope you have a fantastic day, and take care.